Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Road to Revolution podcast, My Journey with Linkin Park. I am your host, Billy Archiello, and this week we are going to be talking about two shows from my Linkin Park concert history, show number 15 and show number 16, which also happen to be the last two shows I saw Linkin Park on during their Project Revolution 2004 tour. It would also be the last shows I saw of them until 2007. So there's going to be a bit of a gap between shows here, not between episodes. We're going to be putting these out every Monday like we have been until hopefully I don't have any more Linkin Park shows, and then we'll dive into other shows. So this is going to go on for a while. I'm going to try to keep on this schedule because I literally have nothing else to do. So if I fall off this, it's my own fault. And somebody keep me accountable. If you know me, if you don't know me, text me. If you don't know me, find me on Twitter at WARCHIELLO. That's at Warchiello or at RTR Pod. That is how you can get me on Twitter. So if you notice, you know, for all 12 of you that are listening, if you notice that I'm not posting anymore, yell at me, say, hey, where are your episodes? I had friends who did that to me over the past couple of years. God, that's not correct. Past couple of months, actually year and a half, I'd say. Cause last episode before this new run of shows I did was in October of 2018, which is so long. And I am determined to not ever fall into a gap that long again. Cause that's just stupid. Like, this is fun. They're not long episodes. I shouldn't have waited that long. Granted, I went through some stuff last year. But it's no excuse, especially because some of that stuff involved me being at home for long periods of time. So I should have been recording, but I wasn't, but I am now. And that's the important part. So let's stop the chit chat and let's start chit chatting about these shows. Okay, that was a bad segue, but we're going to go anyway. And here we go. The next show I'm going to talk about is show number 15. And that's one of two for this episode. And show number 15 was in Bristow, Virginia, on August 10th, 2004. Now, this show was interesting for a few reasons. Not so much because of the show itself. The show was a pretty standard show, given how the rest of this tour had been, minus me playing with them. That didn't happen again at this show, unfortunately. Although my hopes were very high. I was like, oh, maybe they'll remember me from a few days ago, which they do. They did and do still remember me from those shows. And all the shows, I would hope so after 34, but it didn't happen at this show. I even thought, oh, maybe I'll be there again. I say, hey, do you want to come do it again? You know, wishful thinking. You know, I shouldn't get greedy, I think is the best way to think about that, which I can't. Like, I had the greatest moment of my life. I cherish it, so I'm not gonna hope it happens again. It'd be great if it did, but I would never, especially not to rob that moment from somebody else, because if someone else had that dream and they had the opportunity to do it, oh, I wholly wish they could. But that didn't happen at this show. But what did happen at this show, well, before that show, I should say. So it was in Bristow, Virginia, as I mentioned, a few hours out of New York. I believe this is right by Washington, D.C. So 3.5-4 hours, that range. And on the way down, I'd only been driving for less than a year at this point. I got my license officially in December of 2003. So I'd only been driving for less than a year, and I had not gotten a flat tire yet. I had killed my battery. I'd gotten stuck in the snow. I locked my keys in the car, but I'd never gotten a flat tire. And that all changed on this August 10th of 04. We were, I want to say, about 3/4 of the way down to Virginia. And my buddy Sal and I, we did both of these shows together. These were the first shows where we intentionally said, we're going to go to these together. We'd met up at the other shows. So we figured, let's cut out the middleman. You know, you need people to go to shows with. I need people to go to shows with. We both love Linkin Park immensely. And now at this point, we'd both perform with them. A year and change or so earlier, Sal had been brought up on stage to sing. And a week earlier, I'd been brought up to play guitar. So we had this bond of our love for the band and our experiences, and these drives only made it better because, you know, Sal's one of the funniest dudes I know, and driving with him to all these shows, we just laughed and laughed and told jokes and stories and were stupid idiots making dumb jokes the whole time, but it was a blast. Like I couldn't imagine doing these shows with anybody else. And I'm so glad that this little part of the journey started. So Sal was with me. I get the flat tire. We pull over and we get it sorted out. It's not a big deal. Nothing, you know, crazy. Just it is monumental because it's my first flat tire. And of course it's in Virginia, so it's nowhere near home, but I know how to change a flat tire from being around my dad and his garage and cab company when I was growing up. So it wasn't a big deal. We got it sorted out. We got the tire, new one on there, and we headed down to the venue. Now, the one hiccup with this show is I didn't have a ticket. Sal already had a ticket. He had a pit ticket. So our plan when we got to the venue was he would go get in line for the pit. And I would try to find a ticket, you know, try to see if any of the scalpers had any or if by some chance there is any at the box office the day of. Finding a pit ticket like that is a bit risky, but we were thinking, oh, maybe. So we get there. Sal goes in. He gets in line. And I'm walking around out the box office. And I'm asking a few people if they're selling tickets, And nobody has anything. If they do, they're in the lawn or they're in the seats. And, there's going to be a certain point where I can't get picky, but I wasn't at that point yet. So I was like, no, I'm looking for a pit ticket. And they said, okay, no problem. Good luck. And I'm asking a few more people and a couple more minutes go by. And this girl comes from the box office and says, hey, I just heard you were asking for tickets. I won tickets off the radio. And they're pit tickets. I only need one of them. Do you want the other one? And at this point, I genuinely can't remember if she just gave it to me or if I bought it from her. Either way, I now had a pit ticket. So we get down. I go into the venue now and I meet Sal and we get in line. And we got our spot up front and everything was going great and showing off as it normally did. You know, Les and Jake was great. Used were great. Snoop Dogg was Snoop Dogg. Korn was great. And then Linkin Park was amazing as always. So not much to say about that, but they did bring up a fan or a couple of fans, if I remember correctly, to sing at this show. So of course, and they say, hey, who wants to come up on stage? I'm like, oh man, they're going to do it again. I'm going to need to do it again. So I'm like freaking out and they don't pick me. They pick some other kids and they go up and I'm trying to think, I remember it not going well. they had fun up there, but I remember them not being great singers or being kind of weird, but it was fun nonetheless for them. And I knew the experience of my story from the week prior. So I was like, they are having the time of their lives. That's awesome. And that's all that matters. So they do their thing. They get off stage, but otherwise the set list was the same. This is pretty much the same as all the other shows. Bert at this point had started coming out to do Faint, the screaming portion, which he didn't do in Camden. I don't remember if he started doing this in Connecticut or in New York or here at the Bristow show. A lot of these blur together because the set lists are so similar and a lot of the venues start to look similar too. And hell, some of the venues have the same name. Like the one up in Mansfield was the Tweeter Center and the one in Camden was the Tweeter Center at the waterfront. So they all start to blend together. Jones Beach being the exception because Jones Beach is, well, there's no real places like Jones Beach. From what I can tell from pictures and video, Jones Beach seems like Red Rocks, but instead of rocks, it's Jones Beach. That could be wrong. I don't know. But that's how it always seemed to me. But show ends. It was great. Sal and I go to leave. And I believe Brian and Jason were at this show too. And I don't think they went to the next show. I think it was just this one and then they had left. But we had talked, we BS'd in the parking lot for a little bit and then we went our separate ways and Sal and I started our drive down to Virginia Beach, which was another three and a half hours away or so. And that brings us into show number 16, which is now the last show of the Project Revolution tour that I will see them on. It's the last time I will see them till 2007. Now, it was a long drive. We were exhausted because we had driven to Bristow. We'd gone through the show all day. We were rocked out. We were tired. We were sweaty. We were exhausted. And now we have this long drive ahead of us. And, it struggling to stay awake. And we don't get into the Virginia Beach area until I want to say it's like 4 or 5 in the morning because of traffic and all sorts of stuff. And by the time we find a hotel that can accommodate us, for whatever reason, I don't know if I don't know. I don't remember why we had so much trouble finding a hotel, but we did for a while. And by the time we found one and got situated, I want to say it was like 6 a.m. So it was ridiculous. And I will remember this sleep for as long as I live. We get to the hotel. This is little, I don't know, like a Motel 6 or some, you know, small rinky dink motel down in Virginia Beach. Didn't matter. We get in there, and of course, it's one king bed. We're like, whatever, who cares? And we're so tired. You know, we each take our individual showers, and then we go to bed, and we're both so tired, and we're so delirious at this point from being awake and, you know, doing so much for so long that the way this hotel was set up, the motel, the bed specifically, and you may know what I'm talking about. They have like the top blanket, which is like the decorative blanket. And then underneath there's like this second layer, and it's like that softer, you know, it's hard to describe, but you may know what I'm talking about. But there's that secondary blanket underneath, and then there's the sheet. So we both get into this giant bed and wrapped up in these blankets, just going to sleep. And I'm so loopy that I'm just like, I'm gonna fall asleep wrapped up in this bean layer. Like the secondary layer of this blanket looked like, you know, if you were like deconstructed a burrito or a taco from Taco Bell, and you had like the layer of the refried beans, that's what this looked like in color and everything. So I kept calling it the bean layer, which went on to be an inside joke between Sal and I for God, you know, coming up on 2 decades, which is unreal. But so we both sleep. It's like 6 a.m. We fall asleep finally, 6:30-ish. And we don't wake up until like 5:30, 6 o'clock. And it is, I'm not even exaggerating, to this day, the greatest sleep of my entire life. Like I sleep now and have dreams about how good that sleep was. So it was just amazing. But we wake up, and at this point we've missed The Used. We've missed Less Than Jake. Snoop Dogg's going on soon. So we're like, all right, we should probably go to the venue and try to get a decent spot. Well, no, we had seats, so it didn't matter. So we go to the venue and we go to our seats, and we didn't realize the seat situation. We had thought we had seats in the first few rows of the venue. I think we had like row 3, but what we didn't realize was we had row 3 of our section, which was the first set of seats behind the general admission pit area, which we did not know existed. So we are like, all right, whatever, you know, we've had such a great run on this tour. It doesn't matter where we are. We're going to have a good time. So we're watching Snoop Dogg, and all of a sudden Sal's phone rings, and it's this guy named Bagel, who is a photographer that's been following Linkin Park around as well for this whole tour. And he's been, we've seen him at every show up in the front. And he, you know, we grew to know him a bit, and I think him and Sal were friends. So we're in our seats watching Snoop Dogg, and all of a sudden we get a call from Bagel, and he's like, hey, where are you guys? We're like, oh, we're in our seats. He's like, I'll meet you guys. Just tell me where you are. So we tell him where we are. And he comes to meet us, and he's like, I have an all access pass because I'm taking pictures for so many shows on the tour. I can bring you into the pit. We're like, oh my God, are you serious? He's like, yeah, just come with me. So he walks us up to the pit area, and security goes to stop us, and he waves us in with the badge. He's like, all right, you're good. Come on in. So we're like, oh my God, this just worked out. We are good to go. And he's like, enjoy, guys. I'll see you, you know, later on during the Linkin Park set. All right, cool, man. And thank you. And, we're not like up close, but we're in the pit, and that's all that matters. And we had honestly had no intention of pushing our way up. We just wanted to be as close as we can be without, like, you know, messing up anybody else's things. We know how it is to like wait all day and get a good spot on the rail, and you know how, you know, shitty it is when somebody tries to push up and squeeze you out of the way. You know, it's obnoxious. So we weren't gonna try it. We're like, hey, you know, we're happy to be where we are right now, so we're good. This is totally fine. And Snoop Dogg finishes, and we're like, all right, oh, that's over, thank God. And Korn comes on, and Korn's, you know, we've never really been in the pit during this tour. We realized we've always been on the front rail if we were down in a pit area. So we didn't, you know, we were never moshing or anything like that. We were just caught in the middle of the mosh area. And this guy in a wheelchair was down there. And he started yelling at security about us because we didn't have the wristbands to be in the pit. And security knew about us because Bagel waved us in, so we were fine. But if you had gotten in the pit, you know, via a normal way of having a pit ticket, you were given a wristband. So like if you left, you can go and come back with ease. We didn't have a wristband, so we couldn't leave the pit and come back unless Bagel waved us in again, which wasn't a problem. We weren't going to leave anyway. But this guy's like, hey, they shouldn't be here. They snuck into the pit. And he's like, dude, like, come on. Like, A, you don't know the situation. And B, like, don't be a jerk. So security comes over and like, what's going on? They're like, yeah, these guys snuck into the pit. They don't have wristbands. And these are security guards who had seen us before when Bagel waved us in. So he's like, no, they're good. They're, no, don't worry about them. And then they end up kicking the dude out because he's like, you can't be down here in a wheelchair. Like, that's not safe. And I don't know if that's the thing at every show or just this venue, but I get, you know, they moved him to another area of the venue because he was in a wheelchair. And I guess it was a liability or something. So, you know, me and Sal got a good chuckle out of that. Like, dude, don't be a jerk and try to get someone else kicked out because then you're going to get kicked out. So they kick him out. And this is all while Korn is playing, like, by the way. It's not like in a break or something. Korn is going on while all this is happening. And so Korn keeps playing and the moshing keeps going on. And through all the moshing and crowd surfing and the crowd moving and, you know, ebbing and flowing a bit, we end up on the rail. Like, and not from like trying to push up, just like a crowd surfer comes down and pushes people and suddenly we're right behind the front and then another crowd surfer and people move and now we're on the front and we're like, okay, this is like serendipity. We're back up here and we're not far from where we normally are on the rail. If we have a pick, we usually try to go a little right of center. So we get back up there and we're just like, how did we pull this off again? Like how? Like only us, of course. So Korn ends and we're making friends again with all the people around us. And everyone's cool with us being up there. Like Sal has the sleeve of Linkin Park tattoos. Like I have one Linkin Park tattoo, which I didn't get till years later. But he has a sleeve of Linkin Park tattoos, like logos and their signatures and all these things. Like dude's amazing. He's the super fan of super fans and I love him. So, you know, no one's giving him shit to be up there because like, oh, well, if anyone should be up here with us, it's this dude. And then by proxy, I was with him. So we're talking to them and they just told him the story of me playing in Philly or Camden. And people are like, oh, that's cool. So we made friends with people around us and everyone was fine with us being up there, which was great. And then Linkin Park goes on and Bagel's up there and he's taking pictures during the first few songs and he says, what's up? And he's like, of course you guys got up on the rail. Like it's the only way to do it, man. So, set list wise, there's nothing official for this show. We don't know exactly what they played. Safe to assume it's the same set from the night before and most of this tour. So we're not going to dive into that too much, but that was it. That was, the last one I saw in 04. Not much else to say about that show. You know, it was the events leading up to the show and then right up to them playing were a bit more memorable than the show itself. Not to say the show was bad, but as I mentioned previously, when you go to enough shows on the same tour, a lot of the shows bleed together in terms of the specific events of the concert, in terms of on stage stuff, unless it's something crazy like I get picked to play or, you know, a dude gets kicked out for being in a wheelchair. So all in all, I regret absolutely nothing. I don't regret spending all the money I did to see these shows between tickets and food and the hotel and gas prices and all that fun stuff and merch too as well. I don't regret the time and I don't regret a second of it. All of it was just so amazing. It led to the greatest moment of my life, this tour, and memories I cherish until this very day. And not just the playing with them, the traveling, the seeing different shows with friends, having Sal become a dear friend of mine, having the band start to recognize me and know me. Everything about this tour is something special. And it's always going to be my favorite tour of theirs, based on who was there and who I went with and how it was experienced and what happened. But other than that, I think that's a wrap on my journey on the 2004 Project Revolution tour. Next episode, which will be out next Monday, or maybe it'll already be out depending on when you listen to this, because, you know, podcasts are a funny thing with time. You could be listening to them as they come out, or you could be listening to them months later and you're stockpiling them. Who knows? But the next one we're going to talk about is, we're jumping ahead a few years to 2007. It was the return of Linkin Park touring for Minutes to Midnight. And that was the Bamboozle Festival in 07. So we're going to talk about that next time. But until then, I thank you so much for joining me today. This has been My Road to Revolution. My name is Billy. Have a great day.